Good evening, punters, and welcome to episode 4 of the Tripod Wide World of Punting, where we talk about anything and everything that's going on in the world of punting. If you can bet on it, we will talk about it, and this also happens to be my last episode ever with the Tripod, so a sad day, but we're going to be as professional as we can and get through this one. And a lot on the show today. We're going to have, you know, as I said, Origin Decider recap, which was an awesome game. We're going to talk a few minutes about the NBA draft, which happened today, the first couple of rounds, and some trades that have been happening in the last few days. Jacob set me up with some questions that I've had a brief look through, haven't had a massive look through those, so that should be interesting. And then we're going to leave you with my farewell and Jacob's Wide World Bet of the Week. How you going, buddy?
Well, don't say it's your last pod ever, mate, because never say never. But you're right, it is your last pod. So I'm a bit sad. I'm a bit nostalgic. I can remember when we started this, which was in the beginning of 2015, so basically 6 full seasons ago, I was driving to your house after work. It was like sometimes 8 p.m. before we'd go into your office, record with the iPhone, you know, audio record app, before we knew that there was technology that we could do remotely. Then we found an app that we could call each other in our work lunch breaks, do an audio phone call, and we had to pay money for every minute that we were recording, and we used that file as the pod. But as you say,
I remember I used to, when I was working real estate, I used to have to go outside and people like, why aren't you eating lunch inside? And I'd go outside, sit in between two cars parked in the parking lot so that there wasn't wind, you know, and I'd sit on the curb and we'd record the pod.
You can imagine how sweaty that would have been. People could hear like police sirens in the background and stuff. Yeah, yeah. But so we announced it this week. I know it's caught a lot of people by surprise. There's been a lot of shock, a lot of sadness. And the fact is, there'll be some people watching or listening right now who are just finding out right in this second if they don't follow closely on social media. But there's also been a lot of kind words and appreciation that has come through. And I know that has meant a lot to you as well.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And like we'll get to it in the farewell. It's fairly comprehensive, a solid 15 minutes towards the back end of the show. But look, yeah, appreciate all the kind words that have come through in the last couple of days. Even the missus is like, oh, fuck, these people actually liked you, which is surprising. Let's not dwell on that too much. We'll get to that.
About one other thing. You go on, you've already sabotaged the pod in a way. Do you want to tell people about our badminton game on Tuesday?
Oh, my God, yeah.
And so, I'll try and zoom in.
So Jacob invited me up to watch some NFL on Tuesday morning. And every time I go to Jacob's house to watch any sort of game, it's an absolute shit of a game, which was the same with the Vikings Bears. Anyway, he says, you know, I've been playing badminton once a week. Come up and play with me. I thought it'd just be a friendly old, you know, friendly little bit of badminton. I haven't played in about, you know, 12 years since we were back in high school. But, it went on for, you know, a couple of hours probably. I'm a sweaty man, as Jacob said. I had to change shirts halfway through. I had to get my towel from the car. And then just as we were about to finish, we were playing a game against a fairly competitive couple. I went back for a smash. Now, it's debatable whether Jacob said yours or mine, but I've gone back and just absolutely nailed him in the eyebrow, and blood was fucking pissing out of his face, and the couple that we were playing against looked like they'd seen a ghost for the first time, so you had to have like band-aids on your face. And honestly, lucky I didn't get you in the eye, because I think it would have blinded you.
And as everyone knows, my face is my moneymaker, so you know that's going to really jeopardize the pod moving forward. And there will be a pod moving forward, but I'll talk a bit more about that later. We need to get to Origin.
Let's get to Origin.
But one more thing, in case I forget to say it later, we won the Wide World Bet of the Week again, and it was not a full payout. Now, I picked Webb Simpson to come top 10 in the Masters. He was second when I woke up after the first day, or, you know, during the first day, got off to a red hot start. He cooled off day 2 and 3. He was outside looking in into day 4, shot a great round the final day, gets actually, I think, to 8th, but there were some other players to play. Ultimately finishes tied 10th, and some people are confused. When you finish tied 10th, the bookie ain't going to pay out top 10 for more than 10 players.
Right.
It's a dead heat rule. We got 1/3 of our payout, which was $1.33. Obviously, it's lame. If he was one shot better, we get 4 times our money. But if he was one shot worse, we get no money. It was a fun ride. We still profit, and we're still undefeated on the Wide World Bet of the Week, and we got another one for you today.
Tell you what, they should be happy, because honestly, you know, sometimes with especially golf bets, like, if you bet top 10 or top 20, especially, like, you'll have 10 people tied for 20th or something, and you'll lose money, like, you know, or, nearly yeah, your whole
or
stake.
Or if you'd played a safer player that was only double your money and you get a third payout, well, you're actually losing money on that bet, even though they made it. So at least, hey, don't go broke making a profit,
that's
as they say.
Let's talk about Origin, Jacob, and it was an absolute classic. Queensland won 20-14. Everyone that's listening to this would have watched the game. We had one best bet. We thought it was going to be a close one. We leaned towards Queensland. We had a same game multi of Queensland plus 13.5, New South Wales plus 12.5. Essentially, either team 1-12, and really never really looked like losing, did it?
I disagree. When Queensland got up 14, and I'll get to that, there was a scenario where they could have run away. But the reason we picked either team 1-12 instead of just taking Queensland as a 6.5-point dog is basically we liked Queensland in the matchup. We thought they could make it a 50-50 matchup. And if anything, you know, they were the deserving winners. But let's start right here. Hats off to the Maroons. Amazing victory. Wayne Bennett, what a masterpiece. 14 players got their debut this series. DCE, fantastic. Captaincy. Munster, what can you say about him? Man of the series. Yep. Just absolute superstar. It's his world and we're just living in it. It's his bender and we're just living in it. And as you say, we got our best bet right, which we made money on the Origin series. We're like something like 10-2 on Origin and NRL finals, 63% for all rugby league this season. And I think while it was a cracker, I want to start here. Like, it was a very frustrating game for a Queenslander because what I just said, I could make the argument Queensland could have won by 20 or more.
Yep.
And I really don't know how New South Wales held on. You think when it was 6-all, like after 10 or 15 minutes, it was 6-all for a 20-minute period where Queensland, you know, should have probably scored in that time period. And then Queensland got one try before half time and they're up 12-6. And New South Wales held the score at 12-6 for another 20 minutes into the second half. And Queensland just could not land a killer blow. Finally, they get that 14-point lead when they got the penalty and then the Harry Grant try. And I thought that was the series. I really thought it was. So credit to New South Wales because they fought to the death.
They really did. And you're right. Look, when they were up 14, it looked like that score might hold. But look, you're right. It could have been a bigger match.
Queensland could have like added on, honestly. Like, and I would have been happy as a Queenslander, but we would have lost our bet.
And really, it could have been a bigger margin. Like, it looked like a masterclass. Obviously, we said in the preview that, you know, Corey Allen should probably play fullback, Valentine Holmes to the wing, and obviously that's what they did. Valentine Holmes with an epic finish that, you know, it's debatable whether Corey Allen would have been able to do that for the first try. But in saying that, you know, then he kind of bombs three more pretty certain tries, you know, that would have put the game out of reach. But I think, you know, the big blow to the Blues, and obviously, you know, we haven't talked about this, but was Teddy getting injured very early on. And we mentioned this for game two, and I said, you know, if Teddy gets injured for whatever reason, I guess they have some cover there with Gutho, but picking four forwards on the bench, it was a godsend for them in game two because they had, you know, all the energy for the forwards coming through in such a fast-paced game. But for this one, it kind of came back to haunt them because, you know, they have the four forwards on the bench. Teddy gets injured very, very early. And, you know, then they were just on the back foot ever since then.
But, you know, we said, like, if they'd lost Teddy and had no specialist fullback, you'd be like, that is brutal. But the fact is, they knew they didn't need a utility because Gutho is a specialist fullback. He went back there. And, like, Isaiah Yeo played pretty well at right centre. I mean, it's no different to Queensland playing Capewell at right centre for games one and two. So it's not an excuse. The fact is, Queensland lost. Well, it is an excuse because it obviously hurt them. Right. But it's, you know, that happens in Origin.
Yeah,
No different to Queensland losing Munster very early in game two. Like, yes, it did contribute to the result. It is really bad luck. But New South Wales still had the roster, you know, to be able to win that match. I don't know if you want to touch on the Arrow incident, but I'll just say this.
Nah.
Like, I didn't think there was malice in it. I thought he would not have known that Papali's knee had contacted Teddy's head. And as Bennett explained, he actually thought that Teddy was staying down. And he thought to himself, I didn't get you high. Get up. And he's gone to pull him up. And then gone, oh, shit, his body's, like, limp. And then immediately called for help. I know some New South Wales fans are spewing about that. I think that, it was definitely not malice or any intent in that.
I agree. And New South Wales people will argue with me. But the fact is that, you know, he didn't do the high shot. It was obviously Papali's knee that knocked him out, so he wouldn't have known. And then you're right. Once he realised, then he immediately called the trainer over. I'm fine with that. We should mention, though, like, the 6-all, it all started. Corey Allen dropped the fucking bomb for the second try. That made it 6-all. And when you're an underdog like Queenslanders, or when you're any underdog, you have to have those lucky tries. And at that point, I was like, oh my God, you know, that's what Queensland needed. And you mentioned at 6-all, it stayed that way for a little while. But we should talk about Harry Grant, because honestly, he was a revelation. You were championing him to be hooker at the start of the series. And, you know, Jake Friend did a job there first two games and in game three, you know. And we said this could be a really, really good addition to the bench, because Jake Friend, he's a workhorse. And, you know, having two grueling origins in a row, he's made a million tackles. It could just be a little spark. And Friend and then played on at the same time, obviously. But, I mean, every time he touched the ball, he looked dangerous, you know. And he's gonna wear that number nine for a long time to come, I think.
And before the series, I certainly was not the only one saying they should pick Harry Grant. But I'll take credit, because I've been saying Queensland should pick Harry Grant after seeing him play less than a month of NRL. I've been saying that. He only debuted in round three. I reckon you go back to the pod, by round five, I'm saying this Harry Grant kid is the best, you know, number nine in Queensland. This guy's special for sure. And you mentioned grueling. I think it was so smart by Queensland that I reckon they strategically cycled their players. I don't think they necessarily, like, dropped guys because of form or they didn't believe in them. But I think, like, you look at guys who all got a debut, like whether it was Fotuaga came in for game two, or bringing Brenko Lee into this one to then cycle Capewell into the second row. Like, Queensland used, I think, 24 of their 27-man squad across the three games. And at the end of the day, it's a war of attrition. By the time you get to game three, it's who's got the legs under them. And Queensland had it. And you said it, like, it was 20 points to 6 to Queensland, and that's why I was saying there's an argument Queensland could have blown
right.
them up. And the one try was a dropped ball off a pretty easy catch, yep. Maybe some jitters by Allen. But I want to see the other side of the coin too, because I've just said Queensland could have won by 20. New South Wales also could have won.
Yep.
Like when they got back to down six, I mean, Adokar scores that if Allen doesn't take him out, in my opinion. I think,
no,
he,
I
does
think he does
score it. I know the ruling.
It's not a penalty try, but he fucking scores it.
Certain,
he scores it.
But he does. And also, even then, they had 5 minutes with 13 on 12. If they score, you know, most likely Nathan Cleary converts it. And you know, with the extra man and the momentum, they would have won, like, most likely. So it was absolutely gut-wrenching. That last 10 minutes felt like an eternity to me.
And not two, but three full sets on Queensland's line at the end of it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the six again. They had, you know, the ball on Queensland's line, a six again. Cleary kicks early. It's debatable whether that was the right decision on third tackle. I can understand it, because in his mind, there was a minute 30 left, 30 seconds for the dropout, and they get a full mm-hmm. set after that. So,
and you could score off the kick. Like, if, you know,
right.
we've seen, like, defenders slip over.
Yeah, yeah.
Namely, Teddy, you know, when the Roosters got knocked out. So I thought,
yeah.
you know, you can't question their play. You know, actually, in one of those sets, I was losing my mind when Calfusi held him down for ages on fifth tackle and gave a six again on the fifth.
Yeah.
I really... But, you know, great. Hat off to Queensland. There's some symmetry here. Let's go back to Freddie's first series, 2018. If everyone remembers, game two, New South Wales won the series in Sydney. They had a man in the bin. They had to cling on for the final 10 minutes.
Yep.
Queensland got ever so close, couldn't get there. New South Wales hangs on, wins the series. 2019, New South Wales had a lead in the decider. Queensland came back. But New South Wales, as we know, won it in the final minute, you know, with the, you know, scoring a try. And then 2020, game one and game three both had a man in the bin for Queensland, albeit it was only 15
right.
seconds at the end of game one. But they were both Queensland having to hang on for dear life. And this time they did. And the overall point is, Freddie's come in, he's had a good team, he's done a good job. He's only won 5 out of 9 games. He's 0-3 in Queensland and another loss in Adelaide. So again, shows Brisbane's a fortress. From a punting perspective, me saying that that stadium was worth 4 points, I think was very much true.
Definitely. And look, this is going to go down in history, I think, as one of the bigger upsets in State of Origin. And I know most New South Wales players, you know, guys aren't going to say, oh, we never said that this was the worst Queensland side ever. And you may not have, but a lot of people fucking did. And a lot of people said that this was the best New South Wales Blues side ever. And it's not often that you see two games in a row, especially the first two, as double-digit underdogs. You never see that in Origin. So this is one of the more remarkable underdog victories that I've ever seen in an Origin, that's for sure. Should we wrap up that one, Jacob, and get to the...
Yeah, so I think we had a graphic, if you've got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's up. The records,
are
up there.
Basically, we went 172 and 101, which is 63% on all our rugby league plays. And I mean, that's a classic stitch up for this. As we said, your last pod, that is an impossible act follow. We said that 60% seasons are a thing of the past with how aligned the bookies are, the marketplace getting more knowledge and sharper. You just can't win at that rate. We did it for you guys. We did it in front of your eyes.
I'll tell you as well, we lost BetEasy this year. That was one other place that we used to get great first half and second half, you know, handicaps on for the NRL. That used to be a gold mine. So we lost that. And we even said at the start of the season, Jacob, we're like, the lines are getting sharper. There's less bookies to choose from. You know, we'd be very happy with ourselves if we can go 55% this season. And we went 63%. So, massive. And
you which know, is monumentally different. People might think, oh, you only went 8% better than you think. But on a season where you gave nearly 300 best bets, like, yeah.
Well, let me just
very
say...
Proud. We can be very proud of that.
Let me just say it this way. 52.5% is breaking even. 55% is you are a professional punter living in Vegas and, you know, making a living off punting. So
and 60% is you're a scammer. 60% is not real. Don't believe someone if they say they're 60%.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We've actually done it. And it's it's harder to beat the NFL. I should say we're 59% right now in the NFL for what it's worth, which is also actually probably equally impressive because that's an even harder sport to beat. Speaking of American sport, shall we move to NBA?
Let's do it.
The draft was today, and it's unfortunate just because the draft was today and we're recording today and the pod's going up tonight, we couldn't really work it in as a segment. If we had been able to, we could have probably given you guys a bet or two because it's a fascinating event to bet on. Let me start with this. Do you know what the biggest bet, single bet I've ever placed in my life is? I don't think I've told you this.
Nah.
In 2017, I put the biggest bet I've ever put in my life in a single on Markelle Fultz to be the number one pick.
Oh, fuck, I didn't even know
that. How crazy
is that? Yeah, right.
And the reason I did that, and it's going to sound really weird to people, but it made sense to me. He was $1.11, and he was around $1.10 on every bookie, and then he got crunched into $1.01 on every bookie, or some bookies took the odds off the board for the draft. So I'm saying, okay, that's a lock to me. It's not about who the best player is. You follow the market. Bet365 still had him in $1.11. Like, for all I know, maybe they're missing a zero and it should have been $1.01. So let me tell you, I loaded up. And I just think it's funny in retrospect because he did go one, thankfully for me. But he had a bum shoulder, barely played his rookie year. Jason Tatum, Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox like went straight after him. Like, what a terrible bet by me. But I got lucky because, I mean, if there was any doubt about him on the day of the draft, that could have lost. But but hey, that just goes to show that you wouldn't have thought that my biggest bet of my life would have been on something obscure as that. But if there's a profit to be made, I'm in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess we'll talk about the top picks anyway. Anthony Edwards, number one to the T-Wolves. And then we should talk about Golden State. They had the number two pick. Everyone's saying Golden State's going to be a contender next year. And then, you know, contending for a title this year. And then the news comes out that Klay Thompson has injured his leg. Now it's coming out that could be an Achilles injury on the opposite leg that he had, you know, missed the last nearly 2 years. They have the number two pick. They go with Wiseman, but really, you know, it looks like Golden State's not going to be as much of a contender next year without Klay Thompson. And then we should talk about LaMelo goes third to Charlotte. They've got a pretty shitty team, and it does give them a marquee name to sort of build around. And we actually, Jacob, we were meant to go to a Hawks game in Brisbane to watch LaMelo Ball play, and then he pulled out like a day before. So that was the
very first game where he said, I've showcased enough in Australia. I'm not playing any more NBL, and withdrew the day before. We didn't get to see him play. But hey, his dad, LeVar, once claimed he could beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1. Michael Jordan owns the Hornets, so he'll get that chance. And Anthony Edwards went one. The Timberwolves had the first pick. They've got Karl Anthony Towns. They've got Russell. So Edwards is a shooting guard, so he kind of doesn't play either of those guys' positions. So he fits in where they've got a young core at least. And there was no consensus megastar. But in the past years, we've seen like Giannis, Luka, or you go back a little bit, Kawhi. They're obviously megastars that didn't, you know, weren't highly renowned before the draft. So who knows how it'll work out. The Golden State news is shocking because I was looking at futures odds and I really thought the Warriors are actually positioned so perfectly for this season. They traded for Wiggins. As you mentioned, they got Wiseman, who is a front court player to complement Draymond Green and maybe the highest upside of any draft player.
And they've never really had an awesome big, you know?
That's right. Well, Draymond Green, but there's debate.
An awesome
center,
let's say. Yeah,
player of the year. Yeah, and Clay, like, they didn't rush him back. You know, he would have had a full 18 months to come back from the ACL. Plenty of players can come back from that, thankfully. And I heard lower right leg, and I thought, well, That could be ankle. The worst that could be is ACL. Achilles.
Yeah, I know. And it looks like it's going to be.
And then, of course, Steph was injured last year. So that's pretty earth-shattering. You know what else would be? If the rumor that the Brooklyn Nets are going to get James Harden
that's
is
the
true.
Biggest news.
They've already got Kyrie. They've already got KD, who's off an Achilles injury himself. And they've got Steve Nash as the coach. I don't know how they share the ball in that team, but I don't know how the hell you guard that team if they get James Harden, and it definitely sounds like he's going to be leaving Houston.
It looks like it's almost a done deal reading the stuff that you read today, and, you know, why wouldn't you? And people always say, well, these are three fairly ball-dominant guys. I mean, Kyrie is and James Harden is, obviously, but KD can play off the ball. And I think you just do it and you make it work. You're getting a top four.
Yep.
You're getting, you know, maybe one of the best offensive guards of the last 20 years. You know, you just fucking do it and you figure the rest out. That's what they did at LA. They just got AD, they traded away their whole future. They said, fuck it, we'll figure it out. We put scrubs around them, and now you can put scrubs around KD, Harden, and Kyrie. I know Kyrie's not the level of superstar that the other two are, but fully healthy, you can argue both those other two guys are top five guys in the league. So that would be an epic trade if it ends up going through. We should talk about a few other big trades that have happened, Jacob, just quickly. Chris Paul to the Suns. Now, obviously, you know, the Suns are an exciting team. They've got Devin Booker, they've got DeAndre Ayton, and they, you know, now they get CP3. They keep most of their assets. They gave away, you know, Rubio, and he wouldn't get any time anyway. Kelly Oubre, guys like that. So what do you think of that one?
Well, it might make them a playoff team. And then is the last one, you got the Bucks. That's quite big news. Them getting Drew Holiday, I think that is an upgrade at point guard. They're definitely still a massive contender in the East. It's going to be a big season for them to try and convince Giannis to stay. They were meant to get Bogdanovich, but I heard a story today that he's kind of vetoing it because he has the ability to just become a free agent. That's a big loss because that would have been a big addition for them.
Yeah, he's really good. And, you know, they were basically saying that's a done deal, but they just fucked up. Like, they're like, you know, they're saying because he's not, you know, he's a free agent, so it would have had to be in a sign and trade, you know.
Yep.
And he never agreed to sign. So now he's going to test the waters in the open market, I guess, on the free agency. So they might not get him, but I think he's underrated.
Oh, he is. That would have made a big difference. He might go to somewhere like the Lakers. Honestly, it's possible. They could get even scarier. Now, yes, that's right. Now, it's only actually a month away or 5 weeks away, the NBA, so from like kicking off again. It's quite crazy. So I'll cover that more in upcoming episodes of Wide World of Punting. But let's get back to the fact that it's your last pod, and we pre-recorded a farewell chat.
We did.
You said, you came up to my place. We had a beer. We talked about a little bit of reminiscing, a little bit of the reality of doing the pod, and you kind of have explained because people want answers. But before that, we put in the group today a poll for people. We called it Ask Alexi Anything, and a few questions have been shot through, and you're going to just take the reins and basically speed round, answer people's questions, because the people got questions, give them some answers.
No, all right, this should be fun. All right, let's go. Let's start off with number one. Ben Willie, that's his nickname, Ben Williamson? Yeah, righto, bloke. How much have you made from bookie kickbacks? Interesting question, because a lot of people think we've, you know, obviously gotten loaded from it. Look, I'll be honest, look, we were making a little bit, enough so that me and Jacob could actually quit our full-time jobs and try and do this full-time. Unfortunately, the revenue from that kind of dried up pretty quickly with some new laws that came in regards to gambling, stuff like that. So, you know, over time we've had to pick up part-time jobs, you know, Jacob lecturing at uni. I even had to drive Uber for about a year or so. So I'd get up at like 5 a.m., do the morning rush in the Uber, and then come home and watch like NFL and that kind of stuff. So look, it was a full-time wage for probably a little under a year. And then, you know, ever since then, kind of a part-time wage, like Jacob has said. The same bloke, Ben the bloke, are you becoming a professional punter or are you quitting punting? Look, even though me and Jacob could probably be professional punters if we wanted to with the strike rate that we have, unfortunately we're pretty much both banned from every single bookie, so we can't really get any bets on. I'm not quitting punting necessarily, but I guess I'm quitting punting out of necessity because I haven't been able to have an account for probably the last four years or so, I think was when my last account was banned. Jake, will you ever come back? Oh, it's a tough one. I guess I'd love to, but look, at the moment, it's probably a no. So going down my own journey here, and who knows what will happen in the future. But at this point, I will not be back. I'll be letting Jacob take the reins solo. He's very capable. Fucking hell. Andrew, how big's your rod? Jesus Christ. You let this one...
People want to know,
you
mate.
You fucking let this one slide through. Look, Jesus. I won't give away too much. Look, my dad's German. My mum's Chinese. Germans, you know, quite large. Chinese, sort of, you know, a little bit smaller. So let's just say that I'm somewhere in between those two. Kieran, will you remain in the group for banter? I hope so. Look, I really hope so. I love hanging out in the group and stuff, so I'll see what I am and aren't allowed to do, but I would love to be able to hang out in there in some capacity, that's for sure. Kieran, favorite memory from all my pods? Geez, all right, let's backtrack. I think I've got one here. I remember this, and this is a funny one. It's sort of like what a grind we are. I don't know if you call us a startup or whatever when we were starting, but I remember we wanted the background on our walls before we got these programs, so we printed out, I went to Officeworks and I printed out two big posters of, you know, our logo to stick on the wall behind us when we did the pods, when we did the live pods on Facebook Live. And so I went down there, printed them out, sent one to Jacob, took one home, put it on the wall, we did our first pod, it's fucking back to front. And we couldn't figure out how to flip the screen on Facebook Live, so then I had to somehow flip the screen, go back into Officeworks, print out two more giant posters, and then put them back to front on the wall behind me. So that was that was a funny one. I like that one. James, do you get a say in your replacement? Look, no, I don't. And at this point, I think, you know, Jacob's not going to have a replacement. He's going to fly solo, and he's going to get a lot of good guests on, and Jacob's probably better at interviewing guests anyway than I am. So at this point, I don't think we're going to have a replacement, but don't know what Jacob's going to do in the future. But for this at this stage, he's going to be flying solo.
Well, I'll jump in here, and people might think Alex is being cagey and not saying. They're probably still thinking, "What? Where are you going?" But that's in the next segment. This was just specifically answering your question, so we'll get specifics in the next couple of minutes. Look, Alex can't be replaced. And I can't say, oh, I'll make the pod better losing Alex, but I will look to adapt it. I'm going to make it different. I'm going to obviously need to take the opportunity to bring in new guests. And I do have a lot of exciting guests knowledgeable across the punting world to incorporate. I've got a sponsor, actually, which we're going to announce next week. And we talk about that in the next segment, too. But I've got a commitment for the next 12 episodes, which basically gets us to mid-February. So if you enjoy the wide world of punting, this series will run for another 12 weeks after this one. And I'm committed to that, and I want to make it as good a show as you guys deserve. And I'm also committed to completing the NFL season 2020 and even NRL 2021. Now, I don't know exactly how I'm going to go about it, if I'm going to have guests. But basically how much I can produce comes down to how much you guys want it and how much you guys will still get around the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone, if you're listening to this, get behind Jacob, throw your support behind him, because he's going to be balls to the wall for this one for at least the next 6 months to a year. So yeah, let him know that you appreciate the work that he's doing. Has any money? Are you quitting because of the side bets? Hell no. If I could make a part-time wage from these side bets, I know that Jacob obliterated me towards the start of the season, but I cashed out for $700 profit, and we still have a side bet on our fantasy football league for $500, which I am currently winning. So the side bets have been...
I'd make you $1.40 favorite to win that as well.
Yeah, that's totally true. Bryce, your favorite match in pod history. This is a good one. This is one of the first ones that I saw. I'm going to put the bet slip up on the screen. It's going to cover your face, Jacob, but I remember this one very well.
Can I have a guess? Yeah. Is this the one that ends in the unders in the Knights Eels?
I didn't even talk to you about this, but yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Let's retrace our steps back to 2016. I'd been banned from most bookies, and I'd seen some ads on TV for Bet365, and I thought, okay, well, let me just open an account. Oh my God, they have a multi bonus. This is crazy. So I put together a 7-leg multi, $100 into $22,000, and I remember it very clearly. Me and Ken's went away for a weekend, had a nice relaxing weekend, got back Sunday, and you know, the Knights Eels game was on, and I had the Knights plus 8.5 and under 40.5. I figure they were, you know, correlated legs. And it was looking great, honestly. The Knights are up 18-10, I remember it, at about the 55-minute mark. So I'm cheering. You know, I'm not going to lose the Knights handicap. The under's looking pretty sweet. I can survive two tries in the next 20 minutes. And then, bang. 58th minute, Bevan French try. 60th minute, Michael Gordon try. And then all of a sudden, it's 20-18 with 20 minutes to go, and I cannot survive one more try. You know, I'll probably win the handicap if I, you know. But anyway, I can't survive another try for 20 minutes. I'm pacing up and down the living room. Ken's is like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you're stressing me out. So I survive the next 18 minutes. There's 2 minutes left. I'm winning the bet. There's 38 points. I can survive 40. 2 minutes left. I remember it clearly. Nathan Ross breaks down the left-hand side, busts through a tackle, busts through another tackle, straight through, over the try line, slams the ball down, and he slams it right onto Bevan French's shin, who's sliding through. The ball ricochets out. He loses the ball. He slammed the ball over the line, onto the shin, and I went ballistic. That was, you know, I mean, now it doesn't seem that crazy, but even now, $22,000 off $100 is pretty good, you know?
If you're still making that, you could still be staying on the pod, mate.
Yeah, but, true.
And that was with all our pod best bets to make up that multi as well. So that's why I'll never forget that one. And it was a certain try that Bevan French saved.
Oh my
so you
God,
him
wasn't
a beer
it ever.
One day.
Wasn't it ever.
Got more, is there more questions?
No, that is the final one. But we are getting to the Wide World Bet of the Week. And you're going to take this one, Jacob, again.
Okay, so I'm going with rugby. I'm going with the Tri Nations. And because there's been no footy on the weekends, I've watched every Bledisloe and Tri Nations game so far. And last week was pretty crazy. Argentina, first win in their history over the All Blacks. They beat them 25-15. Very impressive. They came with amazing spirit. And look, I think New Zealand had played Australia four straight weeks. They're a bit flat. They were a bit fatigued. Four consecutive weekends. They're in Australia, but they're not being forced to live in a bubble, the All Blacks. So they've been out enjoying themselves from what I've kind of heard secondhand. So Argentina got them. Hey, got played well, but I'm going to bet on the letdown factor here, and you can put it up on the screen if you want. But the Aussies are not as good as the All Blacks. So you might think, well, if they beat the All Blacks, they can beat Australia. But there was promising signs out of the Wallabies. A draw with the All Blacks in New Zealand in game one and beat them outright in game four. And because only games three and four counted for towards nations, Australia is the favourite to win the Tri Nations now because New Zealand has two losses. Australia only has one, and Australia's only got to play Argentina twice. So it's in their hands. They've got a new coach. They've got a promising squad. It's obviously at home in Newcastle, and I don't think they're going to be complacent because they've just seen what the Pumas have done. So I'm going Wallabies -4.5, $1.91 on Neds and Lads.
Sounds good to me, and there you go. It's up on the screen, you guys, so you can see the bet slip there. Australia -4.5, and obviously that's never a bad thing to cheer against Australia. It's always a little bit more fun, that's for sure. That's pretty much going to wrap it for...
Well, we're going to be cheering on Australia, mate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, that's why it's fun. It's double fun.
You said never a bad thing to cheer against Australia.
Oh, sorry. I meant to say on, yeah.
Come on, mate. This is your last pod. Keep it together, mate.
I'm going to keep it together.
Keep the brain functioning.
Keep the brain functioning.
All right, well, mate, right, this is it. We had a chat. We're going to throw to it. But I guess, do you have anything else you want to say? I mean, I'm going to talk a bit more about you in future times, but this is your last chance to say anything you want to say.
Yeah, look, I think we pretty much summed it up in the 15 minutes that are going to come up. But look, once again, wanted to say thank you to everyone that's been a part of the pod journey from, you know, the last 6 years. I mean, we grew from, you know, essentially nothing. We have 50 people in the group, and, you know, a good memory for me is, you know, very early on, I've gone through my emails actually getting a bit nostalgic, but there's one from like 5 years ago, and it's me sending messages for sponsorship and saying, we've got a really fast growing group. Would you like to sponsor us? We have 50 likes on Facebook. And, you know, looking back, that just looks absolutely ridiculous. But we thought it was like the coolest thing back then. You know, we have 50 likes on our fucking Facebook group. So it's amazing to see how far we've come. Met a lot of great people along the way. It's been a wonderful journey. And I'll definitely wrap it well in the farewell that's coming up. But do you want to tell people what's going to go on next week on the future shows, Jacob? Because you'll be back Saturday for NFL and obviously another episode of this next week.
Well, speaking of those old memories, we used to message each other when we got a new Facebook like. So if just a person liked our page, we'd message, oh, did you see someone liked our page? We'd get maybe a couple a week. and we were excited about that. And as you said, we thought we were cool because like 50 people who didn't know us were following us.
We just wouldn't even get a reply out of these people.
We could have never created everything that we have without you and without everything that you've done. And it's been a hell of a ride. And you know, I wish you nothing but the best. And yeah, who knows what the future's going to hold, but I know you're going to kill it, but we're going to talk about that next. NFL Pod is always about 15 minutes, just breaking down the best bets and why on Saturday noon. And as I said, we're 59%. And although some people aren't happy with the multis, we're only up 63-odd units this year, but we have maybe 1-1 in about a month, so could be due, but there's no promises with the multis. But Wide World of Punting continues. It's going to continue strong. I'm going to have guests, as I said. And the new time slot will be Wednesday nights, which is what you guys were used to with the pods. It's obviously just we slid a day late because Origin has just been on. But it'll be Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. daylight savings time. All right, mate. Love ya. All the best. And let's throw to this before we get too emotional. Let's throw to the farewell chat.
Yeah, let's throw to it. Thanks again, everyone. Thanks for watching this episode of Wide World of Punting. And I'll throw it to the farewell. Enjoy. Gamble responsibly. Lego.
You know, 5 years ago when I started Stratton Oakmont with Donny Azoff, I knew the day would eventually come where I'd have to be moving on. And it's truly with a heavy heart that I'm here to say that day is finally here.
Well, mate, cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
The magic
cheers.
Of show business right here. As you guys know, we've kept you in suspense for most of the show, but Alex has an announcement to make, so I'm going to have plenty more time to talk about this. I'm still going to be here. There'll be an episode of Wide World of Punting next week, episode 5. In fact, we've got more special announcements to come. But for now, you know, Alex is going to talk to you guys about his plans.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a sad day today. As some of you may know, most of you don't. This is actually going to be my last podcast with my good friend Jacob. I've taken a job at GBC, which essentially owns Ladbrokes and Neds as a bookie, so I can't continue on with the pod, unfortunately. But look, just wanted to, I guess, say a big thanks to you, Jacob. First of all, it's been a very fun 5 years that we've been doing this, that's for sure. We built this thing from the ground up, from essentially nothing, just as a bit of fun. And I'll tell you what, like, some of the people and some of the friends that I've met along the way, some of them in real life and some of them, you know, only online, it's really made this thing worthwhile. So it's going to be sad to leave, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's sad for me as well. Like, you know, I found out a couple of weeks that this was in the works, and I am gutted. Like, I remember talking to you on the phone, and you said you got the position at Ladbrokes, and you said, so I asked him about the pod and if I can do it, and I was like holding my breath, like, what's he going to say? And then, you know, as you told me, like, it's kind of like a no compete or your contract.
Tried to make it work and just couldn't. So
I can't let you just slip that in there. But talk about taking a job at Ladbrokes, because let's face it, you know, that is our mortal enemy. But it's a funny one. I mean, you guys are well aware that, like, punters need bookies, bookies need punters as well. You've obviously got a skill set that they coveted,
and they've come
to get you because you were kind of costing them too much money.
So at least I've gone over to the dark side, I guess, but at least I get to use some of the stuff that, you know, we've done over the last 6 years for you guys, and obviously over the last 10 years betting ourselves and stuff. But I'll be using those same skills. But look, it's not all over. You're going to continue on, and
I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving! The show goes on!
I know we're leaving you guys in more than capable hands with Jacob, and hopefully, the pod will continue on for a long, long time, that's for sure.
Well, as long as you're not going to do a Cooper Cronk and, like, go to the Roosters and kind of give away all the secrets of the storm to help them, you know, come out victorious. But you're taking odds maker. Is that your job title?
Bookmaker is the official job title.
So I think that's going to be fascinating. Obviously, you've got a skill set, and obviously there's always an adversarial kind of competition between a punter and a bookie.
and you're going to be on the other side of the counter. And you, I think it's you're going to be invaluable. Lessons and learning from that.
Yeah,
and who knows? You know, my goal. People ask us all the time just to kind of to pull back the curtain. You know, the question we always get is like, how much money do you guys make? Like, is the pod a full time job? And what I've always said to people is, look, it's 100% full time hours. Yeah. But it's not full-time money. And I know there's people 100%. That think we do really well to this, but clearly the fact that Alex is taking a full-time opportunity elsewhere kind of shows you that we don't make as much. You know, we have to make the right decision for our future and our family as well. And you've been offered a full-time stable salary out of this to use your skill set.
Yeah, and look, let's be fair. Like, it was never... We never started this for the money, you know, because when we first started this, you know, and even for the first couple of years... You know, for the first probably 3.5 years, I reckon, we wouldn't have made a cent doing the pod. And we were doing, you know, obviously not as many hours as we have the last 2 years, but, you know, there's not many people out there that would do nearly 4 years or 3.5 years of work for basically $0, which is what, you know, which is what we did. So,
yeah, we didn't know what an affiliate was when we came into this.
I
wanted to talk about that, how we started this up. If people don't know, it was... at the beginning of 2015, so for the 2015 NRL season. So having just ticked off 2020, and obviously Origin Decider will have been played yesterday when you watched this, that's 6 full seasons we've done this. We've never charged anyone a cent.
Never had a losing season either.
No, that's right. Like, we've got results. I honestly was thinking, I don't think you could search the world and find anybody that's delivered what we've done for even a year. You go and find me a free tipster that went 60% ATS on any sport for a year... on the planet, and we've done it for 6 years in front of your eyes, you know, and it's been a hell of a ride, and it's been awesome to work with my best mate for this many years. And
because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
Deep down, I still hope that the pod has a long future, and that maybe one day I'm going to be having to recruit you back
from
Ladbrokes. So you'll be my, you know, my first person that I'd want to pick for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's been bloody fun. And honestly, when we started this, like, we never would have thought that it would, you know, end up the way it is with so many people, you know, invested in the pod and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, you know, like you said, you know, when we first started it, we were sending it via Dropbox to like 3 people, you know. Never would we have thought that like 25,000 people would be hanging out for our tips every single week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, every single one of them are good blokes in that group. So,
yeah, when we did start this up, we certainly had no expectations we were going to make any money. Like, we were recording it, sending it to mates, and, you know, we were just thrilled that people cared about what we thought. But obviously, over the years, I think we've demonstrated that we've, you know, we have information that obviously we've been able to beat the bookies with our tips and, you know, with our methods and
100%.
And with our knowledge, and we've really tried to share that, never hold anything back, and never done anything over 6 years, but genuinely try and give profitable tips.
Yeah, that's right. And like we said, every single year has been profitable, and I think, you know, it's a credit to us as well that, you know, not once in that 6 years, I mean, the thought probably crossed our mind to go into a paid subscription service. And to be fair, we've been told by a lot of people that, you know, we'd pay to get those tips early and to be the only ones that got them. But we kind of have always said, and I think I'm proud of that fact, you know, the fact that we've always said, you know, we didn't want to charge for tips. We think that this information should be available, you know, for everyone. And so in the 6 years, which a lot of people kind of have after a lot less than 6 years, you know, so I think it's good on us, to be fair, that we've gone 6 years without charging and don't plan on doing it.
And that's why I don't want to complain that we're not, we don't make a great deal of money out of doing the pod. It's just the reality, but it still does take a lot of hours and
100%.
A lot of our time, and, you know, you have to really choose what you're putting your time into after a while. And that's why, you know, we really appreciate the support we get from you guys. And obviously, I'm going to need it to be able to continue. And I'm still very much committed to you know, carrying forward the legacy and still being, you know, an avenue and a community of punters where we're sharing as much information so that we can still beat the bad guys when Alex is on that team. But actually on that, it's worth mentioning that, as I said, there's a special announcement next week. So just by pure coincidence, and I want to make people know in case people are wondering, but we're going to be actually announcing a major sponsor for the tripod that's going to sponsor the Wide World of Punting for the next 3 months. So you're guaranteed to get this program and to have lots of, like, guests. I can't replace Alex, but I'm going to have to try and adapt and bring...
Ah, there's good punters out there.
Bring
the group,
some different knowledgeable people from different aspects of punting in all areas. But
it's going to be a good show.
But it is purely a coincidence that this is our last show. It's not that you, Alex, disagreed with taking sponsorship, or, you know, it's not that there was an argument over, or, you know, we're not living on bad terms. Or And the other thing I wanted to say as well, we were so naive when we started this out. We thought we're sharing tips. You know, we never realized how much grief you do cop. And you mentioned, like, if we never go on paid. I actually feel bad for anyone who's gives out paid tips, because no matter how good you are, you it's always so have worse. A dull run. You always have a losing week. And I mean, we cop it bad enough for giving completely free tips.
Yeah, that's right.
At, you know, if when people don't win money. But imagine if we were accepting people's, you know, like subscription money, and then you have a bad... I mean, honestly, people blow up if they're not winning almost on every game, every day. So
that's
really
hard. And to be fair, like, we've gotten used to that. Like, at the start, we're like, Jesus Christ, you know, like, these people are mad, you know, in the first couple of years that we were running it. But I think now it's more so... It's a bit more water off a duck's back now because we've been doing it for 6 years. But you're right, like, you know, even though it's only online, we've had a lot of tipsters come and leave the group because they can't, you know, they can't handle it, and it's all sort of part and parcel of it. But yeah, what I would say, I mean, you know, if, you know, because there's a lot of bloody tipsters out there, they're trying to put, you know, their info and stuff in the group for free, and, you know, just be friendly to them, because otherwise everyone will bloody stop tipping. So
yeah, and we're recording this on a Tuesday. We actually just watched Monday Night Football, so I brought up the kind of trolling aspect, because just in case people are speculating that Alex is you know, copying. But as you said, like, we were naive about, you know, how people come after you, even though, like, you know, we always thought we're not doing anything wrong by anyone. No. We're really genuinely trying to do our best.
Which is hilarious, really, because I don't think at any point during any season, really, have we been, like, massively down
units-wise
in a single sport.
No, I mean,
so
we've
like,
killed it every
you know,
year, like, you know, no... But people will always narrow the sample size. So, oh, you've had a great month, but did you win money this round?
Right,
and even
right.
if we won money in a given round, oh yeah, but you lost on the Sunday games. Okay, but you just lost on the most recent game. That's what I bet on.
Like, I didn't get on that one.
Or, you know, the recent thing has been the same game. Or the same game multis haven't done well, even though overall the multis in NFL season is up 60 units. And even though it was only 5 weeks ago, it hit 16-1. Like, I don't know how often people think that's going to hit. But I just want to assure people it's not, you know, the toll of trolling. Because while we were naive, we didn't think, you know, we didn't understand why that was coming at us.
Yep.
What we've learned is if you want attention and you want to, you know, be guest in the public eye, you are open to criticism. And we've learned that, so we do try and deal with that quite well. I actually envy the fact that you get to step away and you don't have that constant scrutiny and you don't have people having a go at you every day when you're just trying to do your best.
No, you're right, and some people obviously think that, you know, but it's certainly not the trolling. We've had that for many, many years, and like I sort of said to Jacob when I told him, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, leave the pod for just any sort of job. It had to be something that I really, you know, really was passionate about. So I think this is something that I, you know, obviously passionate about, want to do, think I'd be really good at. But most certainly, like, you know, it wasn't an easy decision for sure, and I wouldn't have just, you know, like I said, left the pod for anything. But that's the way things go sometimes.
That's right, this doesn't necessarily have to be the end, but it is the end of this chapter for now. And as I said, I've got a commitment to you guys, Wide World of Punting, and I'm very much hopeful of bringing everything I've got for 2021 to see if, you know, if I can still make running the tripod full-time, devoting my life to try and find winners, basically. If I can make that viable, I will, because I love doing it. And
I can guarantee that Jacob will be putting 100% into it. We are recording this on a new lappy, new camera, you know, all sorts
of
stuff.
And you know
so
what? We pledged, we actually,
wall.
You guys might have thought we were bluffing or, you know, trying to get sympathy when we said before the COVID restart, like, this was a crossroads for us. Like, we hit a point where we're putting in that many hours, but it wasn't, you know, turning over, producing full-time income for both of us, but we're putting in people. People again think it's easy to you know, to watch whatever it may be 20 or 30 hours of sport every week and then go through the markets like it's, fiends that we do, and deal with all the administrative things that we have that
like
come
can't remember the last time I've watched an NRL game and not had an interest, like a betting interest in it, you know, like not had a best bet riding it on it, not had the notepad in front of us. So, you know, although I, you know, obviously love deep diving into the games with you and, you know, watching them and all that stuff, it would be nice to enjoy an NRL game without, you know, without some sort of betting interest, I guess, on it.
Well,
you know?
You'll be cheering against the punters. Yeah, true. But no, genuinely wish you the best, and I know you're taking this because it's the best for you. So I hope guys will be happy. And that's the last thing I'll say. Like, we'll talk more about Alex in the future, but I do, you know, implore you guys to say thank you if you've appreciated everything Alex did. And I want to say thank you to you on behalf of all those people. And I know that there's a ton out there and I don't blame them, but there's so many people that follow us incognito that, you know, never hitting like or commenting, but, you know, but we see it in the engagement stats. We see how many people listen to the podcast every week and how many people view. And I get it, because betting, you know, it can be taboo, or not everyone wants everyone on their newsfeed to see, like, that they're, you know, getting around a punting podcast or whatever. But there's heaps of people out there who you'll never know their name or that they appreciate it, but I know they do, so I'll say thank you to you on behalf of them.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I will also just leave you with some parting words. Thanks to everyone that's, I guess, grown the group as a whole. You know, we started from zero, got it up to like 30,000 in the Facebook group, got that whole thing deleted. At that point, we were like, shit, should we even keep going? This is so much hard work. Built it all the way back up to 25,000, you know, as it is now. Obviously, big thanks to yourself, Jacob. It's been an awesome 6 years. You've been a very, very good person to work with. I don't think we ever had, you know, one like super blue over the last 6 months, which is very good. So I'll certainly miss working with you. I would like to say not only thanks to everyone in the group, I think I need to give a special shout out, and I think you'd be along with me, Jacob, to Jeff Craner and Dan Lever. I mean, they've been there basically the whole way through, devoted their time as, you know, mods, and they hit us up by themselves. We didn't even ask them. And, you know, that they've really been like a great help to us over the last like 3 to 4 years. So big shout out to them as well.
And there's plenty of other names that we could throw out there, but it's like we wouldn't know where to stop. Yeah. But a lot of other guys have volunteered over the years, helped us with admin stuff. People have contributed content to us. Without, you know, signaling any people out, but I think it is worth mentioning Dan and Jeff. And you guys, you know, hopefully you guys appreciate that. It takes a team for us 100%. To be able to, you know, give you guys the content. And if anything, we hope that we make you sharper punters, whether you've won more thanks to us, whether you've lost less, whether you've gotten more enjoyment, whatever it may be, because punting, you know, it should not be something that you rely on, but it's a great, you know, escape. It's a great pastime, because it adds excitement to something that you already love, which is generally watching sport or, you know, or racing or
indeed
whatever's going around. So,
indeed.
It's been a hell of a ride, mate. Well, cheers.
Certainly has. Cheers. Thanks again, guys. And thanks again, you know, to everyone in the group, to you, Jacob. And, you know, I'm leaving you guys in capable hands. Jacob is more than capable. So
we'll see, guys. Yeah. It's an uncertain future. But you've got my commitment for the next, you know, 12 months. If you guys can back me, and if this is something that you guys still want, and I'm going to try and give you what you want and make this interactive with the group of, like, what, you know, segments, what guests you want, then we can still keep growing, and maybe we can bring Alexi back. So let's see how we go, guys. But thanks
guys. Mate. It's been a good ride. Cheers, buddy.
Likewise.
And we'll catch you guys around.
Legal.